Well, let me extend my welcome to that of Greg's. It's lovely to be with you this morning and great to be looking at God's Word together. Please make sure 2 Peter chapter 1 is still open in front of you. And let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you that you do lead us all the way. We thank you particularly for the way in which you lead us by your word. And we pray that you will help each one of us to listen to your voice, to hear you, and to put into practice in our lives what you are calling us to. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've noticed that the idea of being effective and becoming more and more effective has become a real obsession, a real fixation for our society in recent years. Think of the workplace, and those of you who work day in, day out, Monday to Friday, or whatever it might be, will know this better than most of us. Workplaces, businesses are fixated on the concept of effectiveness. There's a whole industry out there. It's big business. You get consultants who specialise in the area. Having an effective workplace team, having and conducting effective workplace conversations, all because businesses want to maximise productivity. Organisations want to ensure that they're being as effective as they possibly can be. Those of you who are at uni or at school, you feel this as well, although your parents probably wish you felt it a little more than you do at times. There's a desire, there's an expectation there that you will be effective. That you'll make good use of your time, that you'll work efficiently, that you'll be productive, so that by the time your schooling comes to an end or your course is over, you are more effective than when you were at the beginning. That's the whole hope, anyway. And although we might not think of it in those exact categories and using those precise words, we do feel this in the home, with our families, in our other relationships as well. We want to be a useful husband or wife. A productive mum or dad, an effective grandparent, an effective friend to others. Being ineffective, unfruitful, unproductive, those are all undesirable things to be. We don't want to be like that. The question before us this morning in our Fresh Start series, in this series where we're wanting God to give us personally and collectively a fresh start in life and in the things of God, the question for this morning is, what does it mean to be an effective Christian? If I put that to you, what does it mean to be effective in the Christian sense? What might it look like to be effective as a Christian? What things come to mind for you? I'll just pause to give you a moment to think. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot something down. If you're not, just have a think in your head. What do you think it means? What might it look like to be an effective Christian? Like a lot of things when it comes to the Bible, the answer we're given is more surprising than we might think. At least it surprised me. The answers that I come up with to that question, it's not the way the Bible answers it, which is one of the things that makes the Bible so great and so important for us to look at and listen to and take on board for ourselves. In the part of the Bible that we're looking at this morning that Colin read out for us just now, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're given a picture of what the effective Christian life looks like. We're given a promise from the writer Peter, and ultimately from God himself, that there is a way of living that will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter promises in verse 8 of our passage for today. In other words, if you want to be effective, if you want to be productive, fruitful as a Christian, as someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you do, then here it is. And the way Peter frames this section of his letter, this passage here, is that he talks in terms of things past, God's power and God's promises. That's verses 3 and 4. Then he talks in terms of things present, and that's where we see this effective Christian life on show, verse 5 to verse 9. And then he closes by giving us a glimpse of the future, the eternal kingdom that all those who trust in the Lord Jesus will be welcomed into, verses 10 and 11. It's important for us to both remember the past and to keep sight of the future. We need that if we're going to live this effective life in the present. Our son Caleb has sometimes watched and read about this guy, Steve Backshall, and his deadly 60 pole-to-pole expedition, where this guy, Steve, goes from the Arctic to the Antarctic, North Pole to South Pole, in search of the world's deadliest wildlife. Carnivorous caterpillars in Hawaii, killer whales in Patagonia, that kind of stuff. Well, the Christian life, it's lived in the space, the world, between these two poles. The past, in terms of what Peter tells us about God's power and promises. And the future, the eternal kingdom that lies ahead. And both help us to navigate, to live, and indeed be effective now in the present. Well, let's get into this and think firstly about what Peter says in terms of the past, power and promises. Have a look with me from verse 3 again. Peter writes from verse 3, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." What a way to start a letter, eh? Have you ever written it? Well, we don't really write letters these days. Have you ever written an email or a text message that started like that? Have you ever read one that started like that? It's breathtaking. Peter here makes two incredible statements about what Christians have been given. That's why I've called this section Past, Power and Promises, because these are already ours. They are already yours if you are Christian, past tense. Not that they don't have any bearing on the present or the future, of course they do, we'll see that they do. But these have already been given you if you are Christian. See the start of verse 3 again? His divine power has given us. Beginning of verse 4, through these he has given us. So his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You can see why it's so important to start here when thinking about living the effective Christian life. You can see why Peter starts here, because we're told that in being brought to a knowledge of God, the one who called us, simply by being Christian, we are given by God, by his divine power, all that we need to live that life. You want to know how to live life? You want to know about godliness? You want to understand this godly life that God calls us to? Life as God intended it, created it to be lived? Well, he's given us everything we need. He's given us all that we need for that through our knowledge of him. You see, you talk to any Christian, most of us, if not all of us, feel pretty inadequate when it comes to living the Christian life. Being godly, living life as God intended it. And sometimes those feelings of inadequacy, they can lead us to look elsewhere for the answers, to look for some secret, for something extra. Peter's glorious word to his readers and to us today is that God has already given everything we need. It's come to us by his divine power, and it comes through our knowledge of him. Through knowing him. And Peter's second statement about what we've been given is just as thrilling. In verse 4, he shifts from speaking about God's power to God's promises. Verse 4, through these, that is, through God's glory and goodness that he's just spoken of at the end of verse 3, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We have been given promises by God, very great promises, very great and precious promises. What a lovely description. And that is the way, it's through them that we are able to participate in the divine nature. Not that we become God, but we're made like God. There's now a connection with God. We are partners with, companions with him now. And it's through them, through these promises, that we also escape the corruption in the world. The world that is alienated from God. We don't have to continually participate in it any longer, because we've been brought to participate in the divine nature. So as we come to consider the effective Christian life, what it is to be an effective Christian, the fresh start that God wants to give us, it starts by being reminded of what God's already given us. Maybe you don't know of God's divine power yet. Maybe you don't know of his promises yet, let alone how great and precious they are. His power and his promises are centred on, they find their focus in Jesus Christ. So the call is to come to him, to come to know him, to depend on him. Maybe you've forgotten his power and his promises. They've become dull to you, not as meaningful to you anymore, not as tangible to you in your experience as they actually are in reality. Be reminded, remember what has been given to you already. Well, Peter then shifts, he then moves his reader's focus and our focus from the past to the present. He calls on those who know of God's power and promises, what we've been given by God already, to themselves respond in a particular way, specifically by exhibiting a variety of characteristics, of qualities. And it's here that we see the Bible's answer to our question. What does it mean? What does it look like to be an effective Christian, to live the effective Christian life? See from verse 5, and here we're moving into the heading present, the effective Christian. Let me read from verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Those words at the beginning of verse 5, for this very reason, they're so very important for us, because they communicate to us that what God has given us, the past, power and promises, is inseparably connected to our present, the effective Christian life. It means that you cannot live, you will not be able to live the effective Christian life unless that life is lived on the basis of, with an understanding of, what has already been given us. Perhaps you've been trying to do that, trying to live this Christian life, but not seeing, not functionally living with his power and promises as the basis, as the enabling. Could that be you this morning? If it is, then let those words, for this very reason, drive you back to dwell again on verses 3 and 4. But just as much, that phrase, those words at the beginning of verse 5, they also show us that what God has given, power, promises, are given to lead us on to form the basis of, to provide the enabling for, a new way that we're now to live. You see, the Bible knows nothing of the sentiment, once saved, always saved, if by that we mean that it doesn't matter how we live. You don't see that anywhere in the Bible. There is every ground for assurance, yes, but there is no ground for presumption. There's no hint of presuming in what Peter has to say here. What is his response, the response that he calls for in light of the power and promises we've been given? Verse 5, for this very reason, the past, verses 3 and 4, make every effort in the present. What are we to make every effort in? It's the adding, the supplementing to our faith, our trust in Jesus, of various other qualities, characteristics. So you have faith, verse 5, you trust in Jesus. That's wonderful. Praise God. It's a gift if you read back to verse 1 of his letter here. So supplement your faith. Add into the mix goodness and knowledge. And verse 6, self-control and perseverance and godliness. And verse 7, brotherly kindness and love. Whatever we might think is being effective as a Christian is kind of irrelevant, really. Because this is, according to Peter, living the effective Christian life, being an effective Christian. That's what he says in the next verse, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that is, if these qualities that he's just mentioned exist in you, and not just exist, but are growing, increasing in you, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the thing about being a Christian, living this effective Christian life, is that it's both seriously challenging and yet it's also wonderfully encouraging. It's seriously challenging because it completely rewires how you think about life. You see, say you're having a hard time at work at the moment. Well, the question that this passage then asks of you is, what might God be up to in that? Perhaps developing, growing you in adding to your knowledge self-control, for example. And through increasing your self-control in that situation, God, he's actually keeping you from being ineffective and unproductive as a Christian. Are you finding things difficult at school or at uni? Again, what might God be up to in that? Could it be that he's developing, growing you in adding to your self-control perseverance, for example? And through increasing your perseverance in that experience, he's actually helping you to be effective and productive as a Christian. Are there issues at home? Relational difficulties? What might God be up to in that? Perhaps he's developing, growing you in adding to your perseverance godliness, for example. And through increasing your godliness in that setting, he's actually ensuring that you don't become nearsighted and blind, forgetting his cleansing of your former sins. Are you experiencing challenges with someone else here at church or in some other relationship? Again, our whole framework for thinking gets rewired so that we ask, what might God be up to in that? Could it just be that he's developing, growing you in adding to your godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love? And through increasing your brotherly kindness and love in that particular circumstance, he's keeping you from being ineffective and unproductive. He's helping you to be effective and productive in your knowledge of Jesus, rather than you becoming nearsighted and blind, forgetting his cleansing of your former sins. Seriously challenging. But along with the challenge also comes the encouragement, wonderful encouragement, because this Christian life, the picture of the effective Christian life that we're given here, it means that it's not just a life that's for the healthy. If you're sick, it's for you as well. It's not just a life that's restricted to those who are married. If you're single, never married, divorced, widowed, it's for you as well. This life is not just for those who are older. it's for you who are younger as well. Whether you spend most of your day in a home setting or in the workplace or a place of learning, whether you're in your own home or a nursing home, whether you fill your days talking with little children or talking with adults, here is the way to be effective and productive. Whoever you are, whatever your situation might be in life, you are able to be effective and productive in your Christian life. By these qualities, these characteristics growing, developing in increasing measure. So Peter has given us cause to think in terms of things past. Remember, acknowledge what God has given us as his people. His divine power giving us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us his very great and precious promises. Peter's then gone on to show that what God has given us thrusts us into the present, prepares us, equips us, enables us for this life that we're now to live, possessing and increasing in these various qualities, characteristics, and so being effective and productive in our knowledge of Jesus. And now Peter closes by giving us a glimpse of the future that awaits those who know Jesus. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As I was preparing for this morning's talk, I came across the story of Florence Chadwick. Chadwick was an American long-distance swimmer who was born in 1918 and died in 1995. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. If that wasn't enough, after achieving that feat, she set about seeking to swim between Catalina Island and the California coastline, a distance of over 30 kilometres. So think from here to Sutherland and back, and then from here to Sutherland and back again, or 600 laps of the Engadine Pool, if you prefer. After 15 hours of swimming, thick fog set in. Chadwick began to doubt her ability and told her mother, who was in one of the boats nearby, that she didn't think she could make it. She swam on for another hour before asking to be pulled out, unable to see the coastline due to the fog. As she sat in the boat, exhausted would probably be an understatement, she found out that she'd stopped just 800 metres from her goal, her destination. 2 months later, she tried again, and again thick fog set in, yet this time she succeeded in reaching Catalina. She said that she kept a mental image of the shoreline, her goal, her destination, in her mind as she swam. And she later completed the Catalina Channel on two additional occasions. I think it's a bit like that with the Christian life, isn't it? Peter seems to say it's like that with the Christian life. We remember the past, what God has given us by his divine power, his very great and precious promises. Indeed, it's for that very reason that we, in the present, make every effort to exhibit, to live out these various qualities, characteristics, live this effective Christian life. But that life that we're called to, it's not easy going. Ask anyone who's tried to be self-controlled, godly, showing kindness and love. And so we also need that goal, don't we? That destination clear in our minds, not lost in the fog. If you do these things, Peter promises, the things that he's been talking about in this passage, end of verse 10, you will never fall. Stumble, yes. Sin at times, yes. But never ultimately fall. Rather, we will reach our heavenly destination, the goal of this long and challenging journey called the Christian life. We will receive a rich welcome, an abundant welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, let me pray, and then there'll be some questions for you to reflect on what we've been looking at this morning. Let me pray. Our great God, we praise you for what you have given us. By your divine power, everything we need for life and godliness. We praise you for your very great and precious promises that you've given us. We praise you for a sure future, this wonderful goal, destination of a rich welcome into Jesus' eternal kingdom. We pray that you would help all of us to keep this past and this future at the forefront of our minds, and that you would enable us, as we do that, to live this effective Christian life, that you would grow us in our faith, our goodness, our knowledge, our self-control, our perseverance, our godliness, our brotherly kindness, and our love. And that as we do that, that you would enable us to live this effective Christian life for our great good and for others' great good and for Jesus' glory. And we pray in his name. Amen. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to reflect on what we've been looking at and hearing by being prompted by the questions on the screen. I hope you might be able to continue to dwell on that passage as we have morning tea in a little while and through the week ahead as well. We're going to close by singing our final song, which picks up on this theme of the life that we now live. And there'll also be an opportunity for those who have come prepared and are regularly here to give to the work that goes on for Jesus, both here and around the world. So let's sing.